This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Super Bowl is a week from Sunday. Looking forward to just a great day in sports. If you have a squares contest, if you have a football pool, if you make some bets, it's just a lot of fun. Watch the commercials, eat some great food, all of it. Tommy Waddle has a big party, and it's just always a lot of fun just to get together with a lot of people and enjoy a really good day. But I think we also have one of the more competitive, compelling matchups with these different styles. Jimmy G's a nice player. I don't think he's a great player. His counterpart at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, is a great player. You have a team that can run the football in San Francisco. You have a team that can throw the football with the best of them. Really says, I don't really care about running the football in the Kansas City Chiefs. And they've got big-time weapons. San Francisco has an amazing front seven. Amazing. Can they get pressure on Patrick Mahomes to keep him from finding Kelce and Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and on and on and on? Either way, it's going to be, I think, a very compelling football game. I'll be very surprised if we don't have a really interesting, fun game a week from Sunday down in Miami. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk to Mike Tannenbaum, former GM of two teams, now ESPN analyst, in a little bit. Let's grab Dan on the north side. Hey, Dan, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How are you?
Appreciate the time. Hey, I wanted to add in on the conversation you guys were having about performance enhancement and the Hall of Fame. It's a great discussion. I graduated high school in 1998, and Sosa McGuire got a full ride to a major D1 program, played minor league ball. And I can tell you, when you extract the emotion and just put up the facts, whether you put an asterisk around it, a lot of these guys should be in the Hall of Fame, and it goes back to the emotion. Because I can tell you, everyone at the D1 level, the minor league level, we were all using something. It started with creatine, then it went to androstenedione. Then we were given injections of testosterone depot. It was rampant. So I can tell you, if you let in anyone from that era to everyone else's part of the discussion, you got to let them all in. Whether you want to put an asterisk around it or not is, you know, a whole other discussion. But I'm telling you right now, everyone was using it, because if you didn't use it, you couldn't get to the level that I can tell you from. I went from hitting 5 home runs my freshman year. I hit 32 my sophomore year. So there's a major, major advantage, I can tell you that. But I just wanted to add in, I'm from experience, I knew everyone was using it rapidly.
Yeah, I look, and appreciate your call, man. Have a great day. If you were taking something that was legal, then I can understand people putting in. But when guys are using illegal steroids, obtaining them illegally to cheat the system, I can't put you in.
See, Cap, and here's where it gets tricky, because you mentioned Larry Walker is a Hall of Famer, no doubt in your mind. Mm-hmm. But if you just scan over his home run numbers, when you get to the mid-90s, there's a pop. And whether he's never been named as someone who used, and he's never been rumored as someone who used. But why, if you look at his numbers throughout his career, his average for home runs is at 31, mm-hmm. and it pops at 49 in 1997. He had 36 in 1995. But early in his career, he had 22 in 93, 23.
Where was he playing? Montreal, and then went to Colorado, where the ball flies.
Okay, in Colorado, he had 23 home runs in 98. He had
how many games did he play in 98? I would bet that he was dealing with some
130.
130, and then...
Yeah, 130 games, mm-hmm. and he played 150 the year before, but his number jumped 49 to 23. So my point being is if you look over the numbers, it's not like he was consistently a 40-home run hitter.
Right.
I mean, and that's what someone like me who's just looking at it logically is so bothered by why Bonds and Clemens are held out, because there is no guarantee that anyone who is in there is clean. You can't guarantee me that.
No, I cannot guarantee you that. That is 100% fact that I cannot guarantee you that everyone in there is clean. I am just going to vote, if I was a voter, to the best of my ability. Period. That's it. To the best of my ability, that is how I'm going to vote. And I know in my heart that Barry Bonds cheated. Your hat size doesn't go up 1.5 times if you're not taking something. You don't go from whatever he weighed, and you took the picture when he's with the Pittsburgh Pirates where he looks like he weighs 170.
No doubt.
He looks like he weighs 260 playing for the Giants. Is he a great player? Yeah. He tried to game the system. I can't reward you.
Okay, so how long does that take place? That's just a forever ban. He is not allowed in. So when he gets his 10th year of eligibility, he will not get the 20% 10th year bump that Larry Walker got this year?
He is not, in my opinion. He is, if I was voting, if you said, guess what? You're getting a ballot. I would say he's never getting my vote. Period.
Sammy Sosa, too?
Not getting my vote.
I'm just looking at the guys who are coming up.
Mark McGwire.
Who next year will be their 9th year.
I'm not convinced Mark McGwire is a Hall of Famer. He was a lousy defender. He wasn't a high average hitter. Yeah, he hit a bunch of home runs and he took a bunch of roids. No.
And that's a fair assessment. If you don't think he's a Hall of Fame player based on the play on the field, then that's fair. Someone like Jeff Kent will be in his 8th year of eligibility next year. Gary Sheffield will be in his 7th. Besides that, the guys that we'll be watching are the 9-year guys. That's Schilling, Clemens, Bonds, and Sosa. Those are the 4. So will they get the jump? And you're saying you wouldn't put them in, even though it happened, and we're not sold that everyone in the Hall of Fame is clean.
Correct. I would not put those guys
in. So McGwire on the field, you say is not a Hall of Fame player.
I could be persuaded. I said that to you.
Yeah.
Because of his postseason success. I'm not a fan of him as a guy, but...
I mean, Bonds had postseason success, too.
He did, but I know...
Clemens.
I know those guys cheated. Schilling wasn't a PED guy.
But did Clemens cheat his entire career?
Doesn't matter to me. He gamed the system.
Okay. And Sosa, you would say absolutely no?
Absolutely no.
So Sosa, McGwire, no.
Sosa, McGwire...
Schilling, maybe...
Manny Ramirez, no. Schilling, maybe. No on Bonds and Clemens.
How can you say no on Bonds? Bonds would have been a Hall of Famer before he got huge.
Danny, doesn't matter. He cheated. He cheated. For me, I can't get by that. And it's not that, not so much that he cheated. What I can't get by is that there's some guy that might have hit 23 home runs and drove in 78. And busted his ass every day. And they said, you want to take the needle, man? We can get you to 40 home runs real quick. You're going to triple your money, and you might even become a Hall of Famer. And he went, nope, I got to look in the mirror every day. Like a true Hall of Famer is Frank Thomas. Said, test me whatever you want. Put any test you want on me. I never took one thing. And he was rewarded by being a first ballot Hall of Famer and one of the greatest right-hand hitters in the history of the sport. Yeah, Barry Bonds would have gone in had he not decided to take the needle. But he did, and I can't get by that. It's just a problem for me. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Mike Tannenbaum is doing something TV-wise. He'll join us at 11 if you're looking for him. Joseph's in Wooddale. Joseph, what's up, Sparky?
Hi. I just think that the whole PEDs in baseball is working off of a false narrative. I mean, the idea with PEDs, people have this idea that basically in 1987, McGwire and Canseco formed the Bash Brothers, and then essentially from before 1987, you have this sort of era of pure baseball, which just quite honestly isn't true. I mean, you read Ball 4, everyone and their brother-in-law was on speed. Like, If you, and the thing is, if you want to talk about putting asterisk, then why don't we put an asterisk next to Nellie Fox and Ernie Banks?
Why am I putting an asterisk against next to Nellie Fox and Ernie Banks?
Because they were on, because they and the rest of the league was on speed back then. I mean, it's not, people didn't start taking drugs in 1980 to get better at baseball in 1987.
You don't know that Ernie Banks ever took anything illicit. You don't know that Nellie Fox ever took anything illicit. You've got to be a blind man to not realize Barry Bonds was trying to cheat the system. That's just where I'm at on it, Joseph. He tried to cheat the system. He made a ton of money. He is not the all-time home run leader in my book. And if you ask any of my sons, I got four, who's the all-time home run leader? Dad, it's Hank Aaron. That's just the way I believe. Doesn't make me right. That's just, I'm telling you, if I ever get a vote, I will never put those guys in. The one, somebody may sneak in there that cheated and I didn't know they cheated, but the ones I know cheated, my heart, no chance I'm putting them in. That's me. So thanks.
Okay, I can live with that.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you listening. Have a great day. 312-332-3776. Wade is in Piatone. Hey, Wade, what's up, bud?
Hey, what's up, Sparkles? Hey, two quick points. So would you not vote for any of the Houston Astros from 2017 if they end up on the ballot?
100%. Look, I got to know who was involved and who wasn't. If you told me that the evidence, and, you know, Major League Baseball knows what their investigation showed, if I knew that Jose Altuve, we'll pick a guy who has a Hall of Fame career type going, if you told me Jose Altuve was cheating and that he knew what Chapman was going to throw, there's no chance I'd put him in the Hall of Fame. And if I was the commissioner, I would strip them of their World Series, because the two things that matter to an athlete, and they've all told me this, I got to make my money so I take care of my family the rest of my life, and I got to try and win a ring. I'm taking your championship away, period.
Right. And my second point is I think I've heard voters in the past say that, and I don't really agree with it, but that Derek Jeter was going to get in, regardless if it was unanimous or not. Mm-hmm. So why not vote for someone else like Curt Schilling?
You can vote for up to 10 on your ballot.
Yeah, but they could also want to maybe keep up someone, you know, on the ballot for the for the next year or whatever. I don't know. I've just heard that argument before. I don't really agree with it, but maybe that's the mindset. That's the only thing I can think of. You know what I mean?
Valid point, Wade. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Derek Jeter is a Hall of Famer. There is no doubt about it. And you know what else he did, Chris, that was really impressive? Did you ever hear Derek Jeter involved in scandal? The answer is no. He didn't get married till after he got done playing. He chose to live his life a certain way, and he demanded secrecy from whoever he dated. You didn't hear Derek Jeter getting in off-the-field issues. He didn't. Hey, man, I'm not going to start a family. I'm getting married until I'm done playing, and I'm going to have a good time and do what I want to do. That's his business, and that's how he chose to live it. We got to take a fast time out. 312-332-3776. More of your calls, and Tom Verducci, who's as good a baseball writer as there is, joins us to help break all of this Hall of Fame stuff down next.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Verducci is as good a baseball writer as there is, author of that great book, The Cubs Way, which seems so long ago. Holy smokes, to where they are today. Hall of Fame voting came out yesterday, and there's just a lot to talk to Tom about, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Hey, Tom, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's been a busy winter for baseball.
Yeah, except for the Chicago Cubs.
Well, that's true. They've sat it out.
Yeah, they have sat it out. We'll start right there. I'll get to the Hall of Fame in a minute. Chris Bryant filed the grievance that he was wronged on service time. That was in 2015. Here we are in 2020, and the grievance was finally heard in the fall. We still don't have a decision. And people with the Cubs have said to me, dude, our hands are tied. We're at the luxury tax. Ownership obviously doesn't want to spend above the tax for a second straight year. They want to reset, and we can't do anything till we know what we have. What is going on with Chris Bryant?
Well, first of all, I don't think there's much of a chance he's going to win that grievance. I mean, by the way the rules were set up, and I say rules, it's actually collectively bargained, so the players signed off on this system here. The Cubs absolutely did the right thing at the time. I've said this, you might not like it as a fan, but would you rather have Chris Bryant for another year rather than have him for an extra 11 or 12 games? And again, I understand why the players don't like it. It's something I'm sure they'll address in the next CBA. But I think he was taking a stand here. Even if he thinks there's some chance that he can win, at least he's taking a stance to protest the system and put it on record that this thing needs to change. I get that. I'm just one of these people who thinks that there's been so much talk about superstar players being traded this winter, and most of it, if not all of it, is wildly overblown. I've never seen an offseason where you've had so many big-name players, whether it's Bryant or Lindor, Seager. I mean, you go on down the line, and Nolan Arenado now out there. And I had a couple of general managers tell me at the winter meetings, it's never been harder to trade a superstar player. Why is that? Because you can't get equal value from players like Mookie Betts and Chris Bryant. And you can't just dump those players just as a salary, dump the fans in those cities, especially who grew up watching these guys, the homegrown players, wouldn't stand for it. So there's been a lot of talk about trading Chris Bryant and all these superstar players. I don't see it happening. Look back on history. You don't see major trades made once we turn the calendar into the new year. You know, once in a while, you might see, you know, Kenny Lofton for David Justice in spring training. But you don't see big deals come down once we get to spring training.
So if you are looking at the Cubs through the lens that you have, where you get to hear from everybody and you have a very good eye on this, do you think the Cubs are going to do anything, are going to be able to get any kind of movement done? Because, Tom, they lost over $60 million in payroll, and they've added zero back.
Yeah, I get it. And the Red Sox kind of in that same situation here, where if they're not using the luxury tax thresholds as a barrier, it's certainly an impediment. Now, you can argue that the impediments aren't that great when you talk about the tax money that teams pay relative to the revenues they're getting in. But, I mean, where do you want to go in terms of adding payroll to this team? I mean, it's pretty much a ready-made team right now, you know, with all the money they have and age, actually, in their starting rotation. That's what their season is going to come down to. Just same for the Boston Red Sox as well. So I'm not one of these people who says just go spend money to spend money. You got to tell me what's the right move to make, and then maybe you have to move some dollars around in terms of your business plan. But, you know, I think that Theo would love to give this team a different look, but they're kind of boxed in right now in terms of how much flexibility they have.
The White Sox have been exceptionally active, over $200 million in expenditures. They are pointed north in a big way. How far north can this team go? Because they haven't been 500 or better since 2012.
Yeah, this team could win the Central. I think they're good enough to do that, at least contend for it. You know, listen, I love what the Minnesota Twins have done, and recently the Donaldson ad was just huge. I mean, it's been fun to watch that team play offense. It was last year. But I thought the White Sox, you saw the growth last year among individual players. I think the thing that held them back is way aggressive offensively. Too many similar type hitters, you know, very aggressive. A lot of youthfulness, and you're going to pay for that with some over-aggressiveness. But I love some of the additions they have, Grandal especially. I happen to really like Mazzara as a guy who I think hasn't really scratched the surface of what he can do. I think it's a tougher lineup to pitch to right now, and I think there's a contagiousness of selectivity at the plate that can come into play, which I think the White Sox should benefit from with the experience they have in the lineup. So I like the way this team is constituted. I thought they played with a lot of energy last year. That's not an issue. I think Renteria does a great job in that regard. So I look around that division, and I, all due respect to the Twins, I'm not trying to say that was a fluke year. I don't think it was. I think they're a contender. But I think the White Sox are good enough to contend and maybe even win that division. A lot will, for me, depend on Robert and Madrigal in terms of what they get out of those, both those guys. You know, they could be, in their own way, the additions like Ozzy Albies and Ronald Acuna Jr. were for the Atlanta Braves, just kind of these plug-and-play everyday players who are going to reach their ceiling really quickly.
So let's also talk about what we saw yesterday in the Hall of Fame, because Derek Jeter, I don't understand how someone has a ballot and looks and goes, nah, I'm not going to put him on the ballot. But people can do what they can do. I don't think you could strip someone's ballot. But when I look and see that Bonds, Clemens, didn't, Sosa, guys like that did not get in, if I had a ballot, and I've covered baseball for a long time, I could not vote for those guys. I just couldn't do it. What about you?
I'm the same way. And, you know, I hear a lot of people, they're all tortured about their ballot. And listen, we don't know who did what and how do we prove when they started. It's not that hard for me. You're either on the right side of the line of competition or on the wrong side of the line. And those that chose to go the wrong side of the line, to me, should not be given the greatest honor you could possibly give any individual player in baseball. Now, I'm not looking to change the record book. Keep your money, keep your records. We know what you did. We all saw what happened. I understand the reasons why you got involved with PEDs. It was Wild West back then, et cetera, et cetera. I've lived through it more than I care to. But at some point, you made a decision to go on the dark side of competition.
Yep.
And there's no way I can endorse that. Again, it's the highest honor. You're saying that's okay. No, I understand it, but it ain't okay. And baseball, for some reason, is the only sport where people are doing mental gymnastics to try to get steroid user into its Hall of Fame. I mean, we're going to run campaigns for Ben Johnson for the track Hall of Fame and Lance Armstrong for the cycling Hall of Fame. I don't get the fact that a lot of people out there are defending people who, by the nature of what they did, cannot defend themselves. Because if they go out and say, hey, yeah, I use PEDs, what does that do? It makes what they did completely inauthentic. So there's no way, even to this day, you know, years after retirement, players are going to say that. So, listen, for me, it's pretty easy. The barometer I use is the same as I would use as a journalist. If there's proof out there, if I can write that we know there's evidence out there that you use PEDs, then no, I'm not going to vote for you. If there's suspicion, you know, I could vote for you. Suspicion ain't good enough. But if there's proof and it's known, that's enough for me.
Very eloquently said. I couldn't agree with you more. And to take it one step further, what bothers me is, what about the guy who was scuffling to stay in the big leagues and hit 16 home runs, 20 home runs? God, I hope I get another contract. I'm just trying to hang in there. Hey, man, take this needle. We can get you to 35 home runs. You know how much money you're going to make? Like, those guys made a conscious decision not to cheat the system.
I'm glad you said that, Cap, because when I look at my ballot, it's exactly what I think of. Because I go back to 2001, before I wrote the story with Ken Caminiti in 2002, where I had clean players coming up to me and said, now it's reached a point where I feel disadvantaged by playing the game clean. So I have a choice. Either cheat, which I don't want to do, and actually put my health at risk to keep up with people, or if I want to play the game the way it should be played, I have to play the game at a disadvantage. I mean, that was a terrible position that really caught my attention to pursue the thing further. And a few years ago, I wrote a story about four pitchers in the Twins minor league system, all college draft picks, all of them, you know, kind of fringy major league, minor league players. One of them got to the big leagues, and that was a guy whose velocity went up almost 10 miles an hour because he used steroids. The other guys never made it because they just didn't throw hard enough. If they had turned to the needle, they probably would have been major leaguers. The one guy who did left those guys in the dust. He took their jobs with the use of steroids.
Yeah, it's the whole thing where the cheating scandal, I would strip the Astros of their title. Other people would not, because, hey, man, we got a brotherhood. We're in the union and we're brotherhood. Screw that guy. I could cheat him and I could actually win a World Series. I could not, in good conscience, not take their title away from them.
Yeah, I mean, I would not do that. It's just so difficult because, you know, in this age of discovery, we're just finding out now what was going on. When MLB put these monitors down there starting in 2014, you had a dedicated camera live feed on the catcher's position, on home plate in general, but you could see the catcher's sign. And that was in live time. And it wasn't until really 18 that they started to fix that and put other protocols in. Believe me, they weren't the only ones. I'm not condoning what they did. There's a lot of echoes here to the steroid era that, you know, they took it to a whole different level. But I certainly think it would help if these guys come out and take some ownership on this. I mean, listen, we know what happened. As I said, the commissioner of baseball came out and gave us a very detailed chapter and verse about how they did it. There's no question, right? He disciplined people lost their jobs over this. And yet we still don't have anybody on the Houston Astros coming out and saying, you know what? We went on the wrong side of the line. We got caught up in this. This was too tempting. It was too available. We knew it was wrong, but you should have stopped it. Take some ownership here so that we can move on. And, you know, now Jim Crane is saying players are going to do that in spring training. Well, you know, why do you need to have a strategy here? Why do you need to wait 2 months? Just come out, and we all know what happened. Take some ownership.
Well said. Thank you for the time, as always. You're awesome.
You got it, Cap. Thanks.
See ya. Tom Verducci, author of The Cubs Way. He is all over TV on broadcast, and he's a great writer. All right, we got to take a time out. Robert Kraft has a message for Patriots fans. You're going to want to hear it. That's next.
This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's 10:35 in Chicago. 312-332-3776. This is Chicago's home for sports, Danny and Chris. Don't ever forget that. And follow us on Instagram at Cap and Co. Cap and Co. Follow me. My personal page is The Cap Man. Follow the station at ESPN underscore Chicago. And don't forget, coming up top of the hour, Mike Tannenbaum, two-time GM in the National Football League, will join us. We'll talk some Super Bowl, and we'll get his thoughts on what he would do if he was sitting in the Bears executive suite. Robert Kraft spoke today, or was
yesterday.
Or yesterday, by the people from TMZ.
Correct. He was in New York City. He was getting out of a limousine.
In front of a massage parlor?
I mean, Cap.
What?
Leave the man alone. A massage
parlor. I didn't say there was anything wrong getting a massage.
He who lives in glass houses. He was getting out of a chauffeured ride in New York City. The TMZ reporter yells, "Hey, Bob, are we going to keep Tom in New England?" And Robert Kraft answers, quote, "We plan to." You heard it here first. Tom Brady returning to the Patriots. Robert Kraft says, "We plan to." We all know all it's going to take is money. Robert Kraft's basically saying the checkbook's open. Tommy, let's make a deal.
So the Tom Brady that I saw at Whole Foods yesterday, who said he was checking out the distance from the apartment he and Giselle want to get and the Whole Foods, that's not the same Tom Brady that we're looking at.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Tom Brady has bought groceries in the last 5 years for himself and his family?
Yes.
No.
No way!
No. Yeah,
Tom Brady is as big a celebrity in this country as a movie star like Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. You're telling me he has the freedom, especially during the football season where he lives in somewhere outside of Boston, to go into a grocery store? It would be like a mob scene. It would be like the equivalent of Michael Jordan grocery shopping in the height of the Bulls championship run in the late 90s. There's no way Tom Brady's going grocery shopping.
Let me just tell you that on Willow Road and the Edens, that's Northfield. There's now a Mariano's right
there. It's a very nice one.
It used to be a Dominick's.
Yep.
Michael Jordan would call from his car, because my brother worked for Dominick's when he was going to med school. Michael Jordan would call from his car and say to the manager, "It's MJ, I'm coming in, I got to get groceries," and they would wait until the store was closing. I think it was closing at like 10. Michael would get there at 10:15. He'd come in, door locked again. They let him shop in peace. He would sign stuff for the employees in there if they wanted it. He'd get his groceries, get back in the car, and go.
What year? First of all, what year is this?
What year is this?
This was
during the 90s.
Yeah. Was the 90s. Pre-championship? Was this when he still lived at the in the little house off of Lake Cook Road, or was it this when he lived in the mansion?
He was living not in Villa Salcita in Northbrook. He had moved to Windy Hill by Northbrook.
But he wasn't living in the mansion.
You're saying late 80s.
I think they had already won a title.
30 years ago, Cap.
Here's another thing. You're proving my point. I just said Tom Brady can't go to the grocery store because he'll get swamped. We didn't talk about them letting him in after hours. I'm telling you, Tom Brady's not grocery shopping. I hate to burst your bubble here, Cappy. Tom Brady's not grocery shopping at Whole Foods.
People who are that famous don't do normal things that us normal folk do. Like Danny and I don't do the things that a famous person like David Kaplan can do. Like, you have the personal shopper, you have your own avocado guy.
Excuse me?
I'm being sarcastic.
You know that I love grocery shopping.
Yeah.
My wife hates it.
The point being is that famous people have people to do that stuff for them. They're not like us. Tom Brady is not like us. Tom Brady's not going to the Whole Foods and picking out his own produce. That's not a thing. He has a staff of all these people who wait on him and Giselle and the family, and they get everything for him, and he has a personal chef. Like you're completely negating the fact that he has a personal chef. I guarantee you he does, if not two or three of them.
He actually does have a personal chef.
Boom, there you go. He doesn't shop because someone else not only is shopping, preparing, and cooking the meals, but it's just there for him. You know why? Because he's one of the most famous people in the world.
And
he doesn't live life like us.
One of the benefits of being that rich is you don't have to do certain things that the everyday people like us have to do.
You think
Tom Brady isn't doing laundry, Cappy. Tom Brady, probably not cleaning up after dinner. Tom Brady, good chance, is not winterizing his backyard like the rest of us.
Let me ask
Tom
you
Tom Brady isn't gardening and laying down fertilizer come the spring.
No, he may not be doing that, but if he's not cleaning up his dishes, that's sad.
Well, he has people. That's the benefit of having $200 million.
$200 million, I wouldn't want somebody cleaning up my dishes.
Let me tell you something, Cap. I'm blessed. I got three kids. I got a wife. Dinner time's chaos at my house. Uh-huh. If I was rich enough that someone would clean up after dinner, I would pay that bill in a heartbeat. We could finish dinner and we could all go our separate ways and I didn't have to deal with the half hour of cleaning the kitchen. That would be worth every penny.
Some of the best times I have, I come home, I work out in the morning, my wife works out at night. She is down doing her workout and I am upstairs cooking dinner and we get done. I take the dishes, I wash them, or I'll put them...
You put them in the dishwasher.
No. You can ask Mindy. Many times I wash them myself.
Okay, but that's... You're doing it for two people.
I do it when the kids are at the house, too.
It's very calm in your house. I've been to your house. You and Mindy, you guys have your empty nest going on. It's just the two of you. You're like on your islands, and then your islands connect for dinner, and then you go back on your islands. You've got a very peaceful life now at this point in your life. It's not the same thing as having a house full of kids and the madness and the mess of... You ever give rice to a four-year-old? Let me tell you something. It's all over the floor, and I got two of them. So if I could get up from the kitchen table after dinner and have the crew come in and clean up, I'm down.
See, I can relate to this because sometimes when our dog has stomach issues, we give a bowl of rice to the dog and it's like all over his beard and mm-hmm. there's white rice all over. He's a black dog, so there's mm-hmm. white rice stuck all over his face, all over the floor, everywhere. Mm-hmm. I can totally relate to having a small child because it's just like having a small dog.
I like that you call the hair on the dog's face a beard.
Yeah, it kind of is, right? Mustache, beard.
It's actually his coat.
Well, yeah, yes, the coat, but...
Yeah, but I like the beard.
But I'm with Chris. I can co-sign that he's got a beard.
Yeah, he's got a little beard. I'll show it to you. But the point being, Danny, I can relate to the pain of having all these kids running around your house and having to clean up during dinner time, unlike the Kaplans over there on Easy Street.
Well, I got three dogs in the house. My kids are around all the time. You guys are unbelievable. And I love grocery shopping. The worst invention of all time is Peapod, Amazon personal shoppers. Like, get out among the people and pick out your own food.
So in like 20 years, when a robot brings your groceries to your house, you're not going to buy into that new flashy technology and service?
One of my favorite things is getting up on a Saturday morning.
Your spicy pepper cheese.
Yeah, well, the farmer's market's not back till next June, but they actually do cheese drops. I have one coming on Saturday. What are you laughing at?
Okay, tell the class, what's a cheese drop?
So the cheese people have a booth at the farmer's market.
Okay.
Well, I want the farmer's market gone because it's winter. They email you and you sign on their website. You have a password and all that. You check off how many different blocks of cheese, and then they meet you in the parking lot where the farmer's market was.
Like a drug drop.
Once a month on Saturday.
Do they put in their coat, their trench coat?
Oh, guy has
Hey, man, you got the cheese?
Hey, you got the cheese under there?
Yeah. Hey, is it good cheese this time?
Ordered two big blocks of habanero jack cheese, which is amazing.
Hey, Cap, I got your jack right here.
Some creamy Amish Swiss.
Hey, Cap, loose lips, sink ships. Keep your mouth shut, all right? Creamy you want Swiss. More cheese? Keep your mouth shut.
Got some good stuff
the cheese
there.
People.
Some Kobe Jack.
One day this cheese will be legal, guys.
Like, I love going into the grocery store, whether it's Jewel or Whole Foods.
But you're not Tom
Trader
Brady.
Joe's. But if I was, I would be saddened if I wasn't able to do that.
Also, though, if you were Tom Brady, you'd set up a selfie line in front of Whole Foods. Hey, everybody, I'm here. Come take a selfie with me.
Yeah, once last summer, you did tell people to meet you at the cheese stand because you would take pictures with people. Hey, man, hey, come and get your cheese. It's in my jacket.
Wow. Tyler Five Code on Twitter says, Catman, cheese people is incredible. Try the blue brie. Hashtag cheese drop. See, there are people out there that get it. They get it. I just like being around people.
Here's a tweet from Anthony. He says, I'm a grip in L.A. I've done 3 commercials with Tom Brady, 2 at Dick's Sporting Goods for Under Armour. I promise you Tom Brady doesn't clean anything. I watched him leave his salad on the floor. He had multiple juices, half drink left on a chair. Tom Brady's that guy that just expects everybody to do everything for him.
He doesn't sound like someone who had cleaned the locker room.
Listen, no offense to Yurko.
Keep Mitch. I don't want that Brady character.
Yurko's not as big as a star as Tom Brady, but you ever see Yurko eat in our office? He finishes whatever he's eating. He gets up and he walks away, and that food will sit on the desk for a month. And he's not as big as a star as Tom Brady.
Well, John, you're better than that, Yurko. Anyway, all right, we got to take a timeout. That's why I love people, Danny. I like being around people. I don't like politics. I don't like this. I don't like that, even though I took a shot.
Says the man
earlier.
That went MAGA hat twice this show.
I apologize.
Okay.
It was a shot at Curt Schilling, pure and simple, because I think he's
jag. I don't think he's listening.
Well, good. Okay. Never again. Never again. It was a shot at him. Nothing else. We'll take a fast timeout. We'll come right back. This is ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The NFL draft's going to be in Vegas. That'll be really cool. I think we should do the show from there. Except we don't have a first-round pick, so I guess it doesn't make sense. It's going to be elaborate. Did I read, Danny and Chris, that they're going to bring the draft picks out in the middle of the Bellagio fountains on a boat?
Yeah, so the draft's going to be at the Bellagio in the fountain, and the players will be transported to the stage on a boat. Now, 2 things. It's going to look awesome on TV, but I feel like it's going to take a lot longer. Like, let's say, you know, with the first pick in the NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow. Now you got to get Joe Burrow out of his seat, hugging his family, kissing his girlfriend. The cameras are there, onto a boat, and the boat's got to make its way to the commissioner. Then he's got to get off the boat, get up the stage. I mean, that's going to take a long time.
I would think. Hope one guy doesn't fall into the water.
I'm kind of hoping a boat sinks. Nobody hurt. Nobody hurt, but a boat sinks. And the guy on it can't swim, like a 350-pound lineman.
Wow. Can you imagine that? If you had some lineman who's like, I can't swim. I'm not getting on that boat. Or if the boat tipped. You got Roger Goodell diving in to try and grab a player.
Oh, Goodell's not diving in to save anyone.
No, of course, because he's got so much money, he has people to do that for him.
That's not necessarily what I was getting at.
Are you telling me you don't enjoy grocery shopping? That's very disappointing.
But here's the thing. I personally, and you know me, I'm crazy about everything I put in my body. right? I watch everything I eat. So I go to the grocery store and I like to specifically pick what I'm going to buy, what I'm going to feed my family. I like to look for new products that interest me or new foods that I might be interested in. I'm different than most people. For most people, like my, take my wife. She hates the grocery shop. She loves it. I like it because if it was up to her, she'd never go into a grocery store again.
Right. And I don't understand that. Like, I enjoy the process of grocery shopping. Like going, huh, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. Wow, that fits into what how I eat. You don't like it, Chris?
No, not at all. I feel rushed. I'm there to get what I need get out.
You feel rushed.
Yeah, there's people milling about, reaching where you're reaching, kind of standing over you. I hate that. I hate it all. I want to get in there, get what I need, and get out of there. I don't like it. I do not enjoy it.
Yeah, my wife will go on.
Don't you hate it when you're standing in front of a piece of produce or you're standing in front of something you're reading and you're doing the Kaplan where you're just having a leisurely day where you have 6 hours of grocery shop?
I don't have 6 hours.
And you're standing there. Well, you talk about it like you have all this time in your life to go grocery shopping. I'm someone who's about efficiency, so I want to get there, get out. But I hate when I'm standing in front of something in the store and then someone walks up and stands right in front of you while you're reading what you're trying to purchase. It's like, what do you not see me standing here specifically looking at this item, but yet you're going to walk right in front of me? I hate the whole process. And I think I think the robot idea or automatic delivery, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, my wife was on Amazon Prime and going, okay, I need 4 avocados. And I'm like, really? She loves it.
Those services are good if you're buying like cereal or you're buying like eggs or milk. But if you're buying produce.
She has had them send her produce.
Like you could specify. We did Peapod once or twice. You could specify green bananas or yellow bananas. But if you're a person that really likes to pick your produce, that's not the best route.
Yeah, I personally like going in the grocery store. I'm just telling you. Let's go to the phones. Mike's in Arlington Heights. Hey, Mikey, what's up, man?
Hey, great show, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. I a question for you, Mr. Kaplan. You talk about people that cheat. Will you go on the record and say that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick will never be in the Hall of Fame because they're cheaters?
No, I would not say that.
Why would that be? They're cheaters. I just listened to you talk about Sosa and being the morale police, as Danny would say, or Chris. You know, why would you not say that?
Well, how did Tom Brady cheat?
Deflategate. And then you had Spygate with Belichick.
Okay.
And that's a fact.
The Spygate thing is a different set of circumstances.
Okay, then we'll stick with the football. Deflate. He got suspended 4 games.
But the deflate thing, look, if he would have just come out and said, hey, man, I just like him a little softer. I didn't know that was a violation. It would have all gone away. It's when he wouldn't turn over his cell phone. It made it a mountain, made a molehill into a mountain, or however the saying goes. So, no, I'm not. Tom Brady, I have no issues with.
Belichick, okay, one last thing then. Yeah. So basically you're saying that he didn't know. He knows everything about football. He knows the weight. He knows what he likes. He's been throwing a football for over 28 years.
For me, I can differentiate him letting a little bit of air out of a football on a cold winter day than a guy putting a needle in him so that he can hit 73 home runs as opposed to 35. Yeah.
So basically you're saying cheating is not cheating, which you just said an hour ago when I was listening to you.
Yeah, I think that you are taking it to an extreme level. I'll agree to disagree with you. I understand your point.
Well, thank you. Great show. And I did not take a limo to high school, and I grew up in Island Park. So you guys have a great day.
Okay. He did not take a limo. What does that mean?
Call of the day. Mike.
That was good.
Call of the day. He's right. You're wrong.
I am not wrong. That's why those guys
because,
are not in.
Because in his logic, I agree with Mike, because you said that the Astros, who cheated, they would be held out, right?
If you tell me.
And isn't the Astros cheating scandal that we just saw a lot like with what we saw with the Patriots? There were no needles involved. Because your response to Mike there was that a needle going into the body is what you're against here in that aspect of cheating. Yeah, there's a logic pretzel going on in your head right now.
Right.
And I think Mike got you. I think Mike really got you there.
Mike had a good call. I'll give Mike credit. Craig is in Wilmington. Hey, Craig, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Slappy?
How you doing there, Cookie?
Good. Hey, let's go back to the whole thing. What, in your opinion, is worse, the steroids or the cheating for the Astros?
For me, I think they're both bad. I probably would tell you that the Astros having a massive cheating scandal going on for what it sounds like multiple seasons, that's as bad as it gets. But they're both bad.
Okay. Now, going back to that, you said, hey, if evidence shows that Altuve truly did cheat, you would keep him out of the Hall. But if there is no evidence that says he did cheat, would you put him in?
If you told me that he was not involved in the cheating scandal, and I got to get to break, if you said there's no evidence that Altuve even knew, that's a different story. But I believe that to be different. We've got to take a timeout. We're back in 2 minutes. Mike Tannenbaum, live from the Senior Bowl, next.